I'd like to welcome our visitors here this morning to the Church of Christ that meets in Lake Elsinore. And I would like to thank the membership once again for the opportunity that you've given me to stand in front of you and deliver my thoughts on a certain topic that changes from week to week. But this week, we will be talking about supporting God's work. I'm going to read once again from the scripture that Brother Gary read. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. Excuse me. Paul in his letter to Corinth spoke of taking up a collection for the saints. In that letter, he doesn't give specific instructions on how much to give, but he does say to lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper. This was written to the whole church, something that we need to keep in mind, that it is the whole church's responsibility to give in support of the works that are done. It wasn't written to specific individuals, as Paul did say, let each one of you lay something aside. This is our responsibility, to lay something aside as we may prosper in support of the works that are done through this congregation, through the Church of Christ that meets in Lake Elsinore. We do have a responsibility to support ourselves, to keep this church, this congregation, this building operational on a weekly, monthly, and yearly basis. Today, we are going to take a look at what the Bible commands us to do in relation to giving. The privilege of giving as Christians working together to spread God's word through the Church of Christ. Unfortunately, this is a sermon that no preacher really looks forward to giving to a congregation. And I don't want it to be misconstrued that I consider myself a preacher or the preacher for our Lake Elsinore Church of Christ. I am a member of this congregation, a man member of this congregation, and as a man of this congregation, it is partly my responsibility to deliver God's word, to speak on many different topics, whether they be uncomfortable topics or topics that are of peace and joy and love. So today this is going to be our topic, is the topic of giving in support of the works here. So just where do the funds go? The funds that are collected each Lord's Day. There is a lot that goes into maintaining a work, maintaining a building, maintaining a congregation. It's not unlike maintaining a home, maintaining a house, maintaining a family. There are bills to be paid, certain monetary obligations that need to be met. There's gas bills, water bills, electric bills, general maintenance, things that come up unexpectedly that need to be taken care of, parking lot conditions, gardening, all the way down to things as little as paper clips, paper, class supplies for the children's classrooms, the supplies for the Lord's Supper. Little things that go into keeping this congregation operational that a lot of times don't get thought of daily, weekly, or yearly. It's no secret that our membership, that our attendance itself has declined. We can all take a look around every week. We can take a look at the board every week and see what our attendance was last week, what our offering was last week. And each week, those numbers seem to be getting lower and lower. This is something that, unfortunately, with the declining membership, has put a greater responsibility on those members that are faithful, that are showing up on a weekly basis, the members that do still have a love for the Church of Christ in Lake Elsinore. Unfortunately, we do need to take on a greater responsibility in support of the works. As a church, we should be setting a goal to flourish once again. Many of us have been here for a number of years, and we can remember when you could hardly find a seat in the pews on a Sunday morning service. Sunday evening services may decline slightly, but Sunday morning services, there was times where there'd be attendance of 85, 88, 90, 101 on a Sunday morning. How great would it be for us to see those numbers up there once again? Not for the numbers themselves, but to know that those numbers mean that there are more souls that have been turned over to Christ. More Christians that know Christ, that have the promise of one day being with our Lord in heaven once their time on earth is done. To do that, to get back to those numbers, to get back to that attendance, to get back to this building being overfilled with members, we need to keep the building operational. We need to keep this congregation operational. And unfortunately, at its lowest form of being operational, it does come to giving. Because without giving, eventually the lights don't get paid, the gas doesn't get paid, the water doesn't get paid. And as a congregation, we're looking for somewhere else to meet as opposed to this building that's been standing for approximately 17 years and been owned by the Church of Christ that meets in Lake Elsinore. I do want each of you to know that this lesson today is prepared out of love, is given to you out of love, with a love for the membership as a whole, and with love individually to each one of you. With that being said, please turn with me now to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 5 and 8. 5 through 8, I should say. 2 Corinthians 9, 5 through 8. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you had previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Giving does need to be done out of generosity. If we look at giving as something that we have to do, we're definitely going against God's wishes for giving. We do need to give from our hearts as each one of us purposes in our own hearts. As it says, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. We need to remember this as each week we prepare our own personal budgets and think about what part of that budget is being set aside for the work of God's church. Are we giving from our hearts in support of this work? Or are we giving because we consider it a necessity? And while it is an obligation of the membership here to keep this building operational, we shouldn't consider it a necessity, something that we have to do. When we start taking that attitude, then that portion of what we give out of our own budget each week does start to decrease and isn't given with the right spirit, the right heartfelt desire of the gift. What happens when we don't give from the heart? Or what happens when we try to hide things from God? We have quite a few examples of what happens when we take on that attitude in the Bible. Let's start with very early in time with Cain and Abel. Genesis 4, verses 3 through 7. Genesis 4, 3 through 7. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? And why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it." As we can read, Abel definitely gave from his heart. He gave the firstborn from his flock, his fatted calves. His presentation was pleasing to God. Cain, on the other hand, he did not give from the heart. And God immediately let him know that his offering was not acceptable. Immediately let him know that he wasn't pleased with him. Do we want our offering each week to be acceptable in God's eyes? Or do we want to take the chance of our offering each week not being acceptable under God's eyes? He knows where our gift is coming from. Turn with me now to Acts chapter 5. Acts 5, 1 through 11. We'll read about Ananias and Sapphira. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession. And he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God." Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And the young men arose and wrapped him up, carried him out, and buried him. Now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what happened, and Peter answered her, "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much." She said, "Yes, for so much." Then Peter said to her, "How is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look to the feet of those who have buried your husband. Look, the feet of those who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out." Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young man came in and found her dead, and carrying her out, buried her by her husband. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all those who heard these things. Now, I'm not saying that one Sunday morning after we take our contribution from the membership that there's going to be anybody in here that's going to fall down immediately and breathe their last. But as we can see, God knows if what we've given comes straight from our heart. He knows where our gift is coming from. This is something that specifically I need to do a better job at. I'll make no denial of it. I need to remember that I can't hide anything from God when each week I set aside what I will be giving back to the Church of Christ. What I will be giving back from what I've been blessed with. And we do need to remember that everything we have is a blessing from God. He has provided for us. When we give, we aren't giving what is ours. We're giving back what God has given to us. Everything we have, everything we own, was God's first. It shouldn't be a chore for us to give back to Him what rightfully is His. Turn me now to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury. And many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which make a quadrants. So he called his disciples to himself and he said to them, "Assuredly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood." Again, this is something that I need to keep in mind as my family prepares to give each week. Am I like the rich that only gave out of abundance? And by no means do I consider myself or my family rich. But we have a roof over our heads. We have two cars to drive. Our family is not in need of clothes or food. So I would say that in most people's eyes, throughout the country, throughout the world, we would be considered rich. Or am I like the widow who gave all that she had? Do I take the extras? Do I take the leftovers to give back to God? Or do I take all that I have? Putting Him first in everything, including my giving. Turn with me now, please, to Malachi. Malachi 3, we're going to read verses 8 through 10. Malachi 3, verses 8 through 10. "Will a man rob God? You have robbed me. But you say, 'In what way have we robbed you?' In tithes and offerings, you are cursed with a curse. For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will be no room enough to receive it." Now, while we specifically don't follow the Old Testament rule or law of tithing, of giving 10%, we can still learn from this. As God shows, if we hold back from God what is His, we are risking that He may hold back His promise of heaven to us. This is an obligation, a command for Christians to give back what they have been blessed with, what they are prospered with. I have talked a lot today about what we've been blessed with as far as the building, the membership, things we've been blessed with in our own personal lives. We all have homes. We all have cars. We all have clothes on our back. We don't want for food. We don't want for clothing. We all have electricity running through our homes. We go over to the faucet, we turn on the knob, the water comes out. We click a switch on the wall, heat comes out. During the summertime, we flick the switch the other way, and we get cold. How many parts of the world can say that? We are definitely very blessed. But those things can be lost at any time. What about the blessings that we have to look forward to? What about things that God has given to us that we in no way, in any matter of time, in any lifetime, could give back to God? John 3:16. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent His only Son from heaven as the ultimate sacrifice, or offering as you will, for our sins. This can only be repaid by obeying God's wishes. No amount of money that we give could ever repay God or Jesus for this ultimate sacrifice. For Jesus coming down from heaven, walking on this earth as an example to us all, and then sacrificing Himself, hanging on the cross for our sins. We have the promise of eternal life, a promise made true by this offering from God. Let's stay in the book of John. Turn with me now to chapter 6. John 6. We're going to read verse 35 through 40. 35 through 40. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all He has given me I should lose nothing, but should raise up on the last day. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son believes in Him and may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up the last day. Let's also look at John 14. John chapter 14. Verses 1 through 4. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be. And where I go, you know, and where I go, you know, and the way, you know. We have the ultimate promise given to us as Christians that Jesus has prepared a place for us up in heaven. If Jesus and God has prepared that place for us and has promised that to us if we follow His way, every part of His way, should we take the risk of holding back from God on the first day of the week a portion of what is His in giving back? I don't want to take that chance anymore. I'm definitely going to be looking at what my family has set aside each week and making sure that what it is that we have set aside is giving back to God out of our hearts from what He has blessed us with. Because we are definitely a blessed family. This was definitely one of the hardest lessons to put together for me. How do you stand before people that you love, people that you've known for years, people that you've known for your whole Christian life, and talk to them about money? Talk to them about giving. Well, you do it, as I realized as I was preparing my lesson, you do it by speaking straight from the Bible. Nothing of what I've said here today, I hope, was taken as my opinion on what should be given. What I've said today has been taken directly from God's wishes on what should be done as far as supporting the works of the church. I hope this morning's lesson has given us each a new way to look at the responsibility that we all have supporting the Lord's church and the works that are done here. I also hope that this lesson was received with the love that it was prepared and the love that it was delivered to you today. We never do want to end a service without offering any who have not obeyed the gospel a chance to do so. I know today's lesson wasn't specifically about the gospel, but if there's anything that you have heard either in a previous lesson that one of our members has presented, or anything that you've heard today that leads you to believe that Jesus truly is the Son of God, if you are ready to confess your sins, repent, and be baptized, please step forward as we stand to sing the song this morning.